Well, Rick, your Super Bowl is here, isn't it? This is your time of year,
this
really.
This is it. It sure is. We look forward to it every year. Now it's 3 days that we get to, you know, get forth and show our work and everything we've done for the past 362 days.
You look calm for a guy who's putting 364 days into this.
This is about the 30th one I've been through. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's exciting because, you know, you're going to get some new players in the system. And, you know, you get to talk about all the guys and pick people that you've looked at and evaluated. So it's kind of exciting that way.
Now, talk about the top-to-bottom process for you, because we're talking about, you know, thousands of college players that have to be evaluated.
Right. Well, I mean, it is a long process because it does go on all year. It'll actually start for us next year's group of people. Will start at the end of this month. We'll be down for a meeting in Florida. We have our combine, which is National Football Scouting, talks about all the players for next year's draft. And then, of course, we set our schedules off of the evaluations that those people put forth on grades and everything else. So that starts us up in the fall when we start hitting our colleges and everything else. So you go through the college season. You go through the bowl games after the college season. You go through the combine in February, the workouts in March, the draft meetings in April, and here we are in May.
What's unique about this draft class?
Well, I think the biggest thing, obviously, is the 98 juniors that have come into this class to pump up the numbers that you'll see in the choices. You know, and everybody thinks that it's been a good draft, a rare draft. I don't know if it is. I mean, there's 98 juniors that have come in here, but they're not all top flight players like everybody thinks they are. You know, there's a good group of certain positions that have been elevated by the number of players coming into the draft. So, you know, you have that. But I think it's about like any other year. You have strong positions and you have some positions that are going to be weak.
You know, now, we see this in the NBA where if a kid stays until he's a senior, he kind of devalues for some reason. Is that the same in college football? I mean, is it better for a guy to stay his senior year? You know, do guys get, you know, lose a little bit of value if they stay past their junior year?
I'll tell you the truth and be honest with you. I think in football it's a little bit different. I think a guy is actually gaining value by staying until he gets another year, his fourth year or his fifth year of college football. Mm-hmm. And the experience of playing, I think you look at some of the players that have failed coming out as underclassmen that are third-year juniors, mm-hmm. that come into the league that are 20 years old. Maturity physically-wise, maturity mentally, maturity emotionally. A lot of guys can't handle that change, and I think the extra 2 years – it's just leadership. It's experience at the position. It's a lot of things that go into making the player. So we actually value a guy that stays a little bit longer in the college atmosphere.
Tell me, along those lines, tell me about a player. Like, for instance, I think Marquise Lee, the wide receiver from USC, has a great sophomore year, but maybe his junior year is a bit of a drop-off. How do you place value on one or the other in that situation?
Well, I think what you have to do, if you find that that's the player you like, if you have an interest in the player, you've got to go back and do a little work on his junior year and see what was the difference. Why did he catch X number of balls as a junior and less as a senior? You just do a little bit of homework and go back and see, was there a coaching change? Was it an offensive philosophy change, quarterback change in his case as a receiver? So it just takes a little bit of work and going back and finding out why or what was the reason for the downfall in the productivity.
In preparing guys for this level, are college coaches and programs doing this level justice with the way that they're – developmental programs are going? Have you seen a change in that?
Well, what you do see a change in is the offenses that they're playing and consequently the defense that are playing against those offenses. The offenses in college football nowadays are a little bit more spread out. You don't have the downhill runs, the lead plays, the power plays on a running game. You get a lot more short passing game, that receivers catching and running these little tunnel screens, if you will. You see a little different philosophy in offense. I don't think they're actually preparing them. The receivers probably, yes, you can take a look at them and see what they're going to be able to do. The offensive linemen are not as prolific at pass blocking as you'd like them to be. The defensive linemen, the linebackers, the safeties are looking at a different offense than what they're going to look at when they get to this level. So, you know, the preparation, some cases it is, other times, and for the most part I'll say that when they get to us, yeah, it's a learning process again on playing our brand of football.
You know, being director of college scouting, do you guys take a certain amount of pleasure or a little bit more pride in being able to get guys who fit the team later in the rounds or undrafted rookies like last year? You get six to stick on the team.
That's the success of the process in personnel, I think, is understanding what your team is. And Sean has done a great job over the years from the time he came here explaining what type of player he wants in this building for our offense, for our defense, special teams, and in that locker room. So, yeah, when you understand that, it makes it easier taking that sixth, seventh rounder and those free agents that have come in to our program that have made it. I think we've had either 15, 16, or 17 undrafted college free agents make our active roster since Sean has been here. So that process is made easier by understanding what he's looking for.
Rick, you mentioned earlier, you've done this a few times now. Think about, just for a minute, the change in technology, the ability to break down film and everything else. But for you still, give me the comparison between the eyeball test and film work.
Well, you feel so much better when you go into a school and see a player physically, watch them practice or watch them play a game or watch them compete against another opponent that you like at a position. In other words, an offensive lineman playing against a pass rusher, a receiver going against a defensive back. Mm-hmm. I think the look that you get from being there live is really important, other than the fact that just seeing a guy on a screen and saying, I like the guy. But you don't know a whole lot about him, and that's what you're talking about, late picks being valuable to us. That's where that comes into play, too.
All right. Well, good luck tonight. We're looking forward to seeing your fine work play out on the screen in front of
us here.
Appreciate
it. Thank you very
much.
You bet. Thank you.